Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Office Evolution Radio, and this is going to be a fun one, Stone.
Hey, this is going to be a lot of fun. We are hitting the home stretch, man. We've been here all day making some new friends, catching up with some old ones here at Office Evolution Dunwoody. I just so thoroughly enjoy visiting with the folks. They treat us so well when we come, and we meet so many bright, passionate people. This segment's going to be no exception. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with Drippio.com, Mr. Justin Ham. How are you, man?
Doing well, Stone and Lee. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here today.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Drippio. How are you serving folks?
Yeah, so we're really trying to bring a new medium of communication. People don't respond to emails like they used to. So how can we differentiate that message? We use video. So Drippio means drip campaigns and video. Combine that and allow you to really personalize and send your face right through a message rather than sending a lot of text. So that's Drippio.com.
Now, how'd you get into this line of work?
Yeah, we've been in the HR tech space. That's where we started. And a lot of failures and a lot of learnings. And ultimately, we heard from the market that, hey, what's really needed is something that'll help candidates respond. And we see that the videos help candidates get engaged, respond to recruiters. And we also see that working for sales and prospecting as well.
So now your target, though, is a person looking for a job, or who's going to buy this?
Yeah, so the user and the buyer would be the recruiter or the BDR, business development rep. Mm-hmm. So what they'll do is they'll record a message of themselves with the video. Then our system will automatically embed it into their email. And so the email now has a picture of them, right? So that's very personal, and it creates a new feeling and warmth when they reach out to the prospect.
Now, do I have to have like a green screen or some background? Like how's it going to work?
Yeah, all you need is a cell phone or a laptop. If you have a green screen, I'm sure we can help you out somehow, but that'd be pretty cool to see.
So I just need I'm just hold my phone up and go, hey, I'm Lee, and I'm... What does the video say?
Yeah, exactly. So it's literally whatever you want to say to the person. So
give me an example.
Let's say I'm reaching out to a CEO for a new role at a CEO for a Fortune 500.
Right.
Hi, Mr. CEO. I'm reaching out, Justin here. And we saw your background. And we know you've led companies from Fortune 100 to 200, and we have a new opening here. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to let you know about it. And it's very personal and warm. And I can hold a whiteboard on that video, right? So it says their name. That they know I'm personally reaching out. It's not a spam email like everyone does today, right?
Right.
So
now, if you were doing one for Drippio and you were trying to reach a recruiter, what would it say?
Whoa, hey, let's do it. Pick up your phone and video, right? Wouldn't that be the first step?
He should do it. He's got his own app.
All right. So here's my phone.
Do it with you on the microphone.
Right? Okay.
There we go.
Okay.
We'll see you live as it's happening. I'm doing this at Business Radio X, and... Go ahead.
All right. Sounds good. So there's, you log in, big blue button, record video. All right. So Drippio is now starting a radio station. So I'm going to reach out to Lee, right?
All right. Let's go.
So I'm recording the video now. Press the red button. 3, 2, 1. Hey, Lee, I've read a lot about you and heard your stuff at Business Radio X, and it blows my mind. I can't believe the things and the entertainment you bring to your audience. We're doing the same thing at Drippio, and we'd like you to lead the team. Would you be interested in a quick 5 to 10 minute talk?
All right.
And I'd stop it, upload it, and I'd send it in an email to you.
All right. So I'll get an email, and I'll see that.
Yeah. And you'll see in the email, there's this big old picture of my face, and I'm Asian, so it'll be this Asian dude looking at you, right? And you'll be like, okay, kind of interesting. Click it. Hear the message, and you'll respond.
I love it.
And then as part of the response, is there something? It'll just be a response as an email, though. Like your app doesn't have some special response button that's keeping track. Is there metrics or there things like that?
Yeah, that's version 2 is coming soon.
Darn,
we're continuing
right.
to
part iterate. Of the roadmap.
Yeah.
All right. So now in your background of doing this kind of work, you find that video works better than just a text email.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lot better, a little better?
Twice, 3 times sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. Recruiters.
What's your personal best response rate?
Oh, so I'm not the best at cold prospecting, but I got from about 3% to 11%.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's pretty dramatic.
And that's reply rates. Yeah. For the recruitment space, we're hearing 30 to 40% replies with video. Yeah.
And then that's pretty competitive, right? Because there's everybody's out there looking for talent.
Oh, yeah. Talent wars today are a whole different ballpark. Yeah.
So now, is your background in HR or your background in software development? What's your background?
Yeah, I've been a product manager before jumping into startups.
So you work for other startups?
Yes, startups as well as corporations.
Uh-huh.
And then we got into HR tech space probably about 3 years ago. So you become an expert by interviewing the experts, right? Similar, I'm sure you guys know a lot about business because you interview a lot of the cool, fast growing.
I hope so. I don't know. I don't retain much. So now how are you going to go to market? Are you going to use your tool to go to market?
No, Business Radio X. I know.
This is the strategy right here. One interview with Lee Cantor and you're on the map.
This is the launch.
Right.
So now Dripio is pretty new, though, in this state.
Yes, it's pretty new.
And prior to this, what was it?
Yeah, prior to this, we were actually trying to build a much bigger platform.
That did more things?
That solved too many problems.
You learned a lesson. Yes, that's sir. A lesson for startups, right?
Yes.
So now, what was the trigger to make this shift?
We actually had some really good mentors pour some wisdom on us.
Uh-huh. So having a mentor is another good tip for startups.
Oh, yeah. And you know, fortunately, we had like Sig Mosley, big name in Atlanta, right?
Yes. Been in the mic. He sat in that chair before.
Oh, really? Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay, and Ed Ricker. Both of those gentlemen and many of our other investors were just like, hey, you guys need to calm down. You're not big enough to build this platform.
Right.
So we went very hyper-focused into one small problem.
Uh-huh. So now, how did you get funding?
A lot of introductions, a lot of rejection.
So the concept was this HR tech, and that was got enough to spur some curiosity from investors?
Yeah, so we actually had traction with our other products.
Uh-huh.
The biggest challenge was that it's a very competitive space.
And then there's only so much money, right?
Yeah, and some people have more money than we did, so fighting Goliath isn't always fun.
Right, so you learned a lesson there.
We did, and the investors, thankfully, were really...
patient, because they believe in the team.
Wow. Yes, uh-huh. Put it that way, feels good.
I've interviewed some investors, and they usually are betting on the team more than the product necessarily.
Yeah, we hear that, and that means a lot to us.
Mm-hmm. So now, how did you find your team?
We were at I went to Georgia Tech, and we were at a Georgia Tech alumni event at a bar.
And that's where all the good deals get done, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's tip number four, frequent the bar.
Don't lock yourself in the room.
Yeah, it's good times.
So now, are you a developer? What's your background?
I was more on the business side. I went to tech with business, graduated with it, went into product management, and then a bit of web marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And then my partner is the developer, so he's the smart guy.
So just you two?
Us two, and then we have outsourced resources.
Outsourced resources. How do you manage an outsourced team?
Because
that's a frustration of ours.
Oh, really?
We're not good at managing other people, unless we can see them.
You know, I think we got really lucky. We found the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, like, their skill set is, wow, par none. I mean, high level, and the rates are good for startups.
And they'll grow with you a little bit.
Yeah.
So now when you're doing this video, what is the requirement? So you need a lot of bandwidth? You need what kind of, from a technology stack standpoint, what do you need?
Yeah, definitely a lot of bandwidth, right? Video is really big. Fortunately, we have a good team that can scale mm-hmm. the back end, scale the system pretty quickly. So
now what do you need more of right now? Do you need more money? You need more clients? You need some beta testers? What do you need?
Yeah, more users would be great that just really use the platform and enjoy it. And what we need is to bring as much value as we can to the users.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, that's enough already. Let's talk about me for a minute.
All right.
Okay, so I am largely in charge of expanding the network. Okay, we have 3 studios in Arizona. We have 1 in Florida right now. We have 4 here in the Georgia area. We want them all over the planet. It's a great little lifestyle business, but I need to kick up more conversations with that social mayor in whatever market, Montgomery, Alabama, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, it doesn't matter, San Jose, California. Could I use a tool like this? Could I treat myself as the recruiter identify the person who fits all these criteria, the psychographic, the demographic, reach out with this highly personalized message to Hal Schlanger and say, much like what you did in your message, would that apply to my world?
Yes, definitely. We okay. can help you with that.
Does it have to go through email or can I send it through like LinkedIn messages?
Email is the best for the image to show up. LinkedIn is very proprietary and protective around what goes through their channels.
Mm-hmm.
So you could send the link, but it won't have your pretty face, right?
And I'm going to have to color my hair if we're doing video. There's a reason that I do radio. But if I color my hair and put on, like wear socks, the whole bit, then this, you hear what I'm saying here, Lee? That's part of our challenge.
Well, his thing is sales. It's not just recruiting. It works for...
It could be sales
prospecting,
recruiting.
Right?
Right now, we're also seeing... I personally use it to update investors, advisors. Right. Hey, everyone, this is what happened this week, and it's just
What about dating? That's a whole other...
That's a little creepy.
That's creepy?
Are this thing that you made it a few minutes ago, will you really send it to Lee so we can see the other side of it?
Oh, right now?
But sometime today or tonight, will you do it so we can see it land?
Yeah, for sure.
Lee at businessradiox.com. You can send it to me.
Okay, yeah. Done. We'll do.
Very cool.
So if somebody wanted to get a hold of you and have more substantive conversation, if you're a recruiter out there or somebody in a sales organization that wants to kind of do this different type of prospecting that's probably more effective than email marketing, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, man, I'll be bold. My cell phone is 404-271-7381. Happy to talk to our potential users. And of course, Dripio.com. You can find more information there as well.
And then email?
Justin@Dripio.com.
And that's DRIPEO.com.
Yes.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, man.
Lee and Stone, it was my pleasure.
Well, keep up the good work. We're going to follow your story. And I'm quite sincere. I'm very interested in us possibly using this service as well. So let's stay connected with this.
That sounds great.
All right. Hang with us. We're going to visit with one more guest, okay?
Definitely.
All right, Lee. You ready for this one?
I am. The headliner.
This is the headliner, the one that's bringing it all home for the entire day of broadcasting. Please join me in welcoming to the show, Director of Business Development and Independent Broker for Hit Nation, Mr. Hal Schlanger. How are you, sir?
Fabulous. Another good day.
So did you learn anything in that last segment? What did you think about that concept?
It's definitely catching your eye because video does work. There's no doubt about it. Audio is better than text and video just goes right with it. So
that was very polite. Thank you for framing it that
Yeah,
way.
Thanks for not like just totally pushing us off the side of the boat there.
So tell us about Hip Nation, Hal. How are you serving folks?
We think the whole healthcare system's broken.
We do. Like everybody in the
everybody
room.
Everybody at this
Hip
table
Nation.
Surely does. I do.
I was speaking on behalf of Hip Nation, but it's nice to know that the rest of the room feels the same way. Yeah, we think the whole healthcare system's broken. So there's ways to fix it. And a couple of the ways we've taken care of because we have a solution that's an ecosystem, not just one piece of the pie.
Healthcare is kind of a broad topic. And what part of healthcare are you specifically involved in?
Good point to clarify. We look for small businesses, so businesses under 100 people, 150 people, and we'll also work with individuals because they need health care. And we separate the term health care and health insurance.
Right, because I think they get kind of muddled, right?
They have been, yes.
So then they say that we have health care problems, but maybe we have health insurance problems?
Well said. Mm-hmm. You've got the same, yes, we see the same thing. And we think that health insurance has become cost prohibitive. The increases that people have seen of 10 and 15% per year, and that's just not 1 year, that's year after year after year. That's a lot more than their income goes up. That's a lot more than the company revenues go up. So we're saying that that's where the problem is with the insurance side. And then we address that with both a health care offering and a health insurance offering. So instead of one big piece trying to solve everything, we have two pieces that very clear. We're big on transparency.
So now how does that work for this small firm?
The small firm, much like the same with an individual, it works where we say insurance is for the unplanned things and primary care is for the routine. Think about your car. Most people have a car.
Right.
And at some point they will take care of it. Change the oil.
Get new tires.
Exactly.
Things like that.
Right.
I don't call my insurance. For
you don't
oil
have tire
change,
insurance
for oil changes.
Well, that's the whole point is that you've got a competitive market and price transparency. Even if it's not competitive, if you're in a small town, may not be as many places to change your oil, but you know what the price is. And right. you can go to the next town over and say, oh, this is a reasonable price. So that we introduce on the primary care level. And then when there's something catastrophic, something that wasn't planned for, that's called risk management. And we built the ecosystem to support that kind of risk management. How do we prevent it from getting worse? And oh, by the way, cash pricing, we could talk about some other, if you have time. Cash pricing, is it's fascinating what goes on in healthcare.
We're going to make time because this is a core, Lee, you know, this is a pet peeve of mine. I would so much rather walk into a doctor's office. My kid breaks her arm. I put away a little bit of money. I should be able to just pay the doctor to fix my kid's broken arm. It's probably going to be a lot more reasonable. Now, if I need life flight, then I need some catastrophic coverage, if you know, something like that. But I have so for so long thought it's absolutely ridiculous to pay all these hundreds and thousands of dollars and then pull up to the CVS and they don't charge me for my pill. But I'm not stupid. I just paid, you know, whatever, $1,000 that month for insurance, but they didn't charge, they charged me 27 cents for the cholesterol medicine. Mm-hmm. It's just, the whole thing's out of whack. So anyway, it's probably time for me to hush, but he's singing well, my song.
I don't know if anybody else here had the same stories. I tell my story. A year and a half ago, I thought it'd be fun to have a hernia.
How was that?
Did it turn out fun?
You know, it was really embarrassing. You sneeze and all of a sudden there's a pain where it shouldn't be. Anyway, I went and found out and said, what's it going to cost? And they said, if you go to an outpatient surgery, because it's a day, it's not a overnight stay, outpatient surgery, they said it's going to be $10,000, right? Well, okay, there's somebody that's got a nice room and they anesthetize you and they cut you open and they sew you back up and you actually can walk away. And so it's really good service and it was $10,000. And I went through HipNation. I said, what's the cash price for the doctors? Now, HipNation is only primary care, but HipNation has created an ecosystem of connections of doctors. And it's actually great because it's actually the doctors who they're talking to. So my primary care doctor said, here's one of our doctors who's a surgeon. That's what hernias are done. And I said, how much is it going to be? You know, he told me $2,410. And oh, by the way, I put it on my credit card and I got points. So that's all it was. So the doctor was thrilled because when I walked out, he was already paid. And the anesthesiologist was already paid. And the surgery center.
So they love it too because they're not dealing with all the paperwork and the bureaucracy and the claim codes.
And they got paid right away, right? It wasn't like a month from now or 2 months or whatever they normally get paid.
So I used to think it was a cash flow issue too, that, oh my goodness, you know, you got to hold money for 30 or 60 days. That's a problem. Well, it's a small problem. I talked to one of our doctors. She had gotten approval by a certain large insurance company to provide care for 4 sessions, got paid. I mean, the sessions were done. The claims were submitted by the doctor just the way they wanted, and the insurance company paid it. This was in January. She got paid back February, March. That's fine. In May of last year, she got a request for the money back because the patient was no longer an employee of that company that she was in January, February. And whoever was at the carrier said, wait a minute, this person's not one of our members anymore. I mean, it's not one of our members, so we want the money back. We paid by mistake. So that doctor had to spend...
But they were a member at the time.
Right, which is why they got paid, which is why they got the approval, the pre-certification, right. And then why they got paid. And the doctor had to spend office time finding the records, sending it back, saying, you know, that's just adding cost to doing business. That's right. Not helping the healthcare system. That's an administrative person making a mistake and eating, you know, eating everybody else's cost.
So now the reason you got involved with HipNation was this personal experience?
The personal experience for me was before that. My wife's a nurse practitioner, and she was just telling me story after story of paperwork that's got to get done, trying to get paid for something. Oh, by the way, you got to go over here for this payment and go over there for that payment. There's actually an industry of people that just do billing and such. So I had already been – I was listening to her pain, and then I met Will Hall, who's the CEO of HipNation. Wait a minute. You just solved the problem she's been complaining about. And yes.
And the problem is multifaceted. One of the facets is this price transparency.
Yes. So the first part is that the insurance, if insurance gets involved, then they're doing the negotiating for you. So yes, price transparency. And then the second is right behind the price transparency is, okay, now I can see the prices. Well, think about when you go to a hotel. If you go to a hotel, what's on the back of the door to the room?
How to get out in case of a fire.
Yes. And right below that is the room rate.
Right.
And right below that, and you look at that room rate and go, oh, wow, I got a deal. Has anybody ever paid that rate that's on the back of the hotel door?
No.
Right. But it's there for a point of reference to say how much.
For price transparency.
There you go.
There you go. Price transparency.
Sure seems like it. So the other term, and this really helps a lot of businesses now, is resource-based pricing. Resource-based pricing, RBP, resource-based pricing is the Medicare rates. So anything that you need to do in healthcare, Medicare's already got a price for. Now, we as a society think that that is a subsidized price. A lot of the providers think it's a subsidized price and they won't accept that, which is why you don't see a lot of people doing just Medicare.
Right.
Because it's a little bit harder to make a living.
Right. There's not signs that say we only deal with Medicare patients.
But we as a society feel like it's fine to give our seniors that kind of pricing and Medicare runs. Let's not talk about that. But for those of us under 65, we're going to pay whatever the marketplace allows. And we can either say we're going to let our insurance company do the negotiating for us, or I can walk into this HipNation doctor and get a hernia operation for far less. The key is now with insurance is to say the insurance company is going to cover up to X amount of the Medicare rate, like 2 times the Medicare rate or 1.5 times the Medicare rate or whatever the number is. In that case, the insurance company doesn't spend its time and money negotiating. It simply says, I'm going to pay you 150% or I'm going to pay you 200%. Done. And then what we do is we also layer a stopgap. So if there's any reason that the doctor won't accept that, there's also a fund built in that says, okay, well, this one person we couldn't agree on. You know what? It's not worth the extra $100. We're taking it out of this extra fund.
So now, how is this different than like those concierge services where I get special rates because this doctor says that he's only going to have, you know, 500 patients or whatever?
Now, when you say special rate, can you define that?
Where I'm like getting I know in advance I get this certain level of service. I have a cell phone. I can call him. I can get in on time.
Okay. So take concierge and then put it on steroids. What concierge does really well is it allows a relationship with you and your doctor. That's a huge difference. My son, his doctor's name is Dr. Urgent Care.
Well, exactly.
Just he has no relationship with the doctor. He just knows that this is what I'm feeling. Take care of me. As opposed to a doctor with a relationship. If you've had a relationship with a doctor, that doctor knows, oh, this has happened before, or this is the way you feel, or you don't handle pain well, or you maybe handle too much pain. You handle pain too well. And you're ignoring certain signs. So that's what relationships do. It also helps with telemedicine. If you have a relationship with a doctor as opposed to just making a phone call to a qualified doctor or nurse practitioner, but they just don't know you. So the reason we say it's concierge on steroids is concierge was set up so that doctors had more time to spend with you because the insurance company wasn't paying them enough. They were negotiating on your behalf, and they squeezed the doctor so much that several doctors said, enough is enough. So the doctor said, you know what, give me $200 a month, $300 a month, depending on the plan you pick. Give me that money, and therefore I can spend more time with you. So now I have a relationship. What's missing with the concierge is the ecosystem. So I come to you, you take care of me, and you tell me, by the way, you have a cardio problem, and whether it's an echocardiogram that's needed or a stent or whatever the solution might be, you need to go to a specialist. Your concierge primary care doctor couldn't do that. The difference is with the HipNation ecosystem, they can refer to a doctor who's already ready to handle cash. They welcome cash. So they've already got a lower price. Now, how does that help business? Is that if you're familiar with the way the groups are set up as a business, they take your employees, you have 5 employees, you have 50 employees, 100 employees, and they put that into a pool and say, okay, here's your premiums. And the insurance company says some of those premiums are going to be going towards claims. Some goes towards administration and or profit. And then some of it will go for, oh my God, this is a really big issue that is way beyond what your company could ever cover. The nice thing is if you enable your employees to shop for healthcare, which right now nobody does. People just go, my doctor said, go to the doctor, go to the hospital.
Right,
I go.
Just show up. Or they said, go to Bob or Dr. Bob. And I go to Dr. Bob. I don't go to 5 different people to see who's the best person.
And you don't know what Dr. Bob costs.
Right.
And you don't know, you may see an explanation of benefits, the EOB, but you don't actually know what Dr. Bob got paid from that after eligible cost, ineligible cost.
Well, I don't care what he got paid because I just care about me.
That's the sad truth. You are exactly right. You are representing a lot of people when you say that. I don't know what it costs. I was $20 copay, $50 copay. I don't care. The difference here is if you would be incented to care, and by that I'm saying if you could have access to the dollars, of the access of the cost, and then if you actually saved money, the claims fund that your company is putting money into doesn't get fully used because, one, you shop for where to go. Two, you decided to take care of yourself instead of
waiting till the last minute or only going for emergencies.
Right. You didn't wait for the oil to not need changing, the tire to be bald. You took care of yourself. The tire bald, not the head. So if you took care of these things, then the money that's saved stays in the claims fund and goes back to the company.
So now where does like a health savings account or some of these kind of health care plans that I might have from insurance or my own taxes come right into play?
So the HSA, the health savings accounts, we think are fabulous. We think they're wonderful. What people get confused, just as a point of reference, people get confused with flexible spending accounts, FSAs. Those are the ones that say you got to use it up by the end of the year. And you see the optometrist and the plastic surgeons, a lot of people that are very cash-based, discretionary, you'll see them saying, you've got money in
like
these.
Use it or lose it.
Right. The difference with an HSA, which is why it's so such a positive idea, you don't lose it year to year. You don't lose it if you change companies. And when you make it to 65, the golden age in our society that says all the rules change, the HSA money can be used for anything. It's no longer restricted to health savings. It can be used for anything. It looks like an IRA. And I'm not a tax advisor, so I don't want to look like I'm giving tax information.
I'm going to try to get us one, a tax advisor on the show.
Work on that.
And I'll work on that after your interview. Yeah.
So HSAs are wonderful things because it allows people to say, instead of a low deductible, come up with a $6,500 deductible. Oh, that's horrible. $6,500 out of my pocket before the insurance pays anything? In this case, we're saying, sure, it's $6,500, but by the way, either you're taking your pre-tax dollars or your employer's putting money into that, and it sits there waiting for you to have these expenses.
Now, what about as an individual? I'm not part of any company. Can I participate, or is this only if I'm an employee in some manner?
This works for individuals.
So it works for individuals as well as kind of smaller firms.
Yes.
And that's the solution.
So we would tell you it does work for larger firms, but we can't be everything to everybody right away.
So right now you're focusing on...
Right.
So now as a smaller firm or an individual, I just call HipNation. I go to HipNation.com and I just...
You don't call HipNation.
Stone, please go on.
So is that how it works? Is it that simple?
You can go to the HipNation website and learn more. You can call me directly. I'll put out my phone number. Justin can do it. I'll put out my cell phone number.
Just answer the man's Drippio when you get Drippio.
When I get the email with your video, I just click on
that's
it.
That's right.
Right. Just tell me where I can text it to or I can email to. So the phone number is 770-335-0077.
Now, do you have any recommendation is it a thing where I go for a high deductible or is that less relevant for HipNation? Like if my insurance is high deductible, is that good or bad or does that not matter?
I think it's a personal preference. HipNation pairs really well with a high deductible health HSA plan because HipNation will give you primary care. Primary care provides 70% typically of the health care you need in a year. Kind of look at your mechanic in your car again. You go to your mechanic, if you're doing well, they're going to cover 70% of the things you need or whatever the number is, taking care of your oil, checking your air conditioner and your hoses before they crack, or I see a little crack, but it hasn't come apart, and they fix those things. That's going to prevent a lot of big expensive things. So primary care, which is HipNation, can truly help all the first things that happen. And by the way, you mentioned concierge. By the way, something happens on the weekend when the doctor office hours aren't the standard hours. You can call or text your doctor before you run to urgent care or before the hospital and say, here's what I'm experiencing. What should I do? We've had fun stories. We call them fun because It's not us. It's not happening to us. But we had one guy, for example, he was out doing yard work, got bit by a snake. And it, I don't know about you, but when you get bit by a snake and it's not a little...
ruins your day.
Yeah, and whether it's you or your wife, somebody's going to say, we're going to do... go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Hey, sure. I don't know what to do about snake bite. I was not a Boy Scout. I missed that part about you get bit by a snake. So these people got in the car. The wife was driving to the hospital. The guy called his HipNation doctor and said, here's what happened. And they talked about it. This doctor knew, and I don't know where from, but this guy, this doctor knew that this was not a baby snake. It was an adult snake. What do you know about adult snakes biting you versus baby snakes?
I know nothing.
You and me are alike then. Turns out that baby snakes are the dangerous ones because they can't control how much venom when they bite you. Adult snakes are going to, if it's us, anybody in the room, they're not going to try to kill us and eat us. They just want to scare us. So snakes, adult snakes, even if they're poisonous, probably aren't going to hurt you. They're going to provide, you have toxins, and I'm not a doctor, but as the story goes, they're not going to put you in a place that's really bad. So the doctor figured out from the conversations and what they were talking about, sent the guy home, said, take this, do this, and we'll talk in the morning.
So it really wasn't urgent care needed.
With an expert, exactly, a medical expert. Instead of going to the hospital, which would have been, what, $1,500, $2,000?
Right, and half the day.
There you go, right. Instead, they went home, took care of it, and that's what primary care can do. So that's the kind of thing when you said, how does this connect with an HSA? Imagine that I would have gone to the hospital and I would have paid out of my HSA, but HipNation will help you at the beginning of that and to say, oh, you need to be the hospital, you need to take care of this, or no, let's solve this over the phone, or it's during the week and it's office hours, come on by and I'll take care of that. We had somebody the other day cut his finger and wasn't sure if he needed stitches. They said, go in the office, let him talk to you. And actually, the first thing they did was they photographed their finger and texted it to the doctor.
Right. So now, one more time, if somebody went to get a hold of your website and email.
Sure. The website for HipNation is hipnation.com. My email is, I'd rather give you a phone number. It's easier than spelling Schlinger. 770-335-0077.
Well, Hal, thanks for coming by, man, and sharing your story. And keep up the good work. As you can tell, I'm a big fan of this whole idea, this concept, and I've had the good fortune of getting to hear pieces of the HipNation story, and every time I hear you guys describe it, I just get more and more enamored with the whole idea. So we'll continue to follow your story, man.
Sounds good. Thanks, Stone.
All right. Now, I know we billed Hal as our headliner, but we got another special guest star. Took him a while to get here because, you know, he offices like two doors down.
I know. It's not easy to find this.
But he's here now. Some people call him Babe Ruth just because he likes to slide in there at the last minute. But please join me in welcoming the real headliner for today. He is CEO with Mr. Taxes, Mr. Teon Thompson Sr. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. Delighted to have you. Have you learned anything since you got here?
I learned a lot about the health savings, so I appreciate hearing about that. Being in corporate America, military, and also government, so those insurance companies are different.
Good, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
All right, so tell us about Mr. Taxes.
Mr. Taxes, I am. My name's Teon Thompson. I'm the CEO of Mr. Taxes. Actually, this year we expanded. We have always done over 50 states for tax preparation, accounting firm. We expanded to Atlanta, Georgia, and also Charlotte, North Carolina, based out of Columbus, Ohio.
So are you the main Mr. Taxes, or you're the one covering Atlanta?
I am the owner. A lot of people call me Mr. Mm-hmm. Taxes, but I have a full staff that actually supports me to get a lot of the tax accounting stuff done, taken care of.
So you're running the whole countries?
I have an office that can maintain multiple states, yes.
Wow. So how did you kind of envision this company?
Working for corporate America. And as I was working for corporate America, I got a degree from the Ohio State University. And I just started just to work my degree in accounting and also opened up the firm and started with different offices throughout the country.
And then, so you're an accountant?
Yes, sir.
And then at some point you said, I'm going to be Mr. Taxes. How did that name?
I try to figure out the name of the company. I tried different ones, and then just ended up with Mr. Taxes. Yes.
I mean, super great name.
Thank you. It's not a franchise yet, but I just opened up multiple offices. There's also another Mr. Taxes. He's in Canada, and we compete for a lot of domains.
I'm sure you do. So now, when you made that kind of pivot from being yourself to Mr. Taxes, did that open up a lot of opportunity?
Open up a lot of opportunity, have a lot of clients. As an accountant, a lot of my clients are personal. I'm their trusted advisor. So mm-hmm. to expand, it took a lot of trust. A lot of clients call me personally all day, every day
That's hard because that limits you, right? You can't be in Wichita and be Mr. Taxes.
Roger
that. Wichita, right?
Yes, sir.
So you're putting boots on the ground in all 50 states?
Well, I do. Well, I have people here when they come in here during tax season. I have one in Charlotte, but I have a 1-800 number that people can call as a trusted advisor. Ask Mr. Taxes different questions that they can ask about their county, their expenses.
And they're mailing you a shoebox full of receipts?
Or I go to them.
Really?
I actually just came from Ohio, drove from Ohio nine hours a day.
A bunch of shoeboxes full of receipts.
No, sir. They mail it. With the technology that we have today, we can get a lot of stuff. The equipment and things that I have, we can get from the bank statements. A lot of things we can get their expenses.
And then why should I use a tax accountant as opposed to a CPA? What's the pros and cons?
The difference, I liked his analogy. The difference between a CPA and accountant, the CPA is like the doctor. And an accountant is like the RN. Most of the RN nurses does all the work. Right. So as an accountant, I do a lot of the work, and allows me to have a lot of flexibility in different states. Reference to a CPA might be limited to the state that they have license in.
So now, do you work primarily with individuals or business people or businesses?
That's a great question. I actually, January through April is a lot of personal. Throughout the year, I'm actually a CFO for hire. I manage probably about 20 companies. Where I'm their full service payroll, bookkeeping, and I'm their tax accountant mm-hmm. also.
And then do you have a specialty? Do you work in certain niches that you kind of understand the ins and outs, or any business kind of fits the bill for
pretty
you?
Pretty much any business model our company can handle, our firm can handle.
Now, like it could be a company with 100 employees, or it could be a company, professional services company, anything goes.
Pretty much, yes. We have companies already up to 20 million. Actually, we just had someone reach out to me from Japan. They want to do...
international too?
Well, when they do business with the United States, the taxes that they have to pay to the United States. I actually changed the company from Mr. Taxes to Mr. Taxes USA to differentiate myself from Mr. Taxes in Canada.
You're a Canada guy.
Yes, sir.
So now, were you always a numbers guy growing up? Like, what's
always a numbers guy.
You were
always
in the military at some point.
Military. I was a crew chief on Blackhawks. High school, came in Cincinnati Academy, math and science. I have always been a numbers guy, even in the military. I loved it pretty much. Yes.
So now, right out of the military, you went back to being an accountant?
No, in the military, I worked for Chase Bank. I was the business development manager for Chase, ran the whole state of Ohio for Chase Bank, PNC Bank.
So you worked for big banks?
I did. Yes.
So then what was the pivot to being your own entrepreneur?
Changing in the market where they downsize. I think when I was with Chase, I was over like 13 banks. When you're used to being making that revenue, you don't want to lose that revenue stream.
Right.
So it's back to the degree that the military helped me get. And then I just opened up my own firm from there.
And then what's the most rewarding part of the job for you?
The most rewarding part of it is helping clients. I mean, throughout the year, a lot of clients don't know how much income they make, how much they're saving. So I'd like to do financial literacy. I love to sit down with somebody, do a financial planning. What are you trying to do? What are your goals? What is your tax break? Helping them out. Just financial literacy with clients is what I do. Not one client is the same. Everyone is different.
Now, is there some kind of low-hanging fruit for businesses where they're not – where you're like, dude, you should be taking advantage of this?
Yes. Every state has programs for small business owners and tax breaks for small business owners for depends on 1 year, 2 year, 3 year. There's certain tax brackets that you can get. And there also being in the banking industry, there's money and funds that are out there for business owners that they can get also.
So you help them with that?
Sometimes I'll research it as a CFO for hire. I research that information for startup businesses, help them with financial planning, doing a projection, 2-year, 3-year projection, where do you want to grow? And I figure out if they funds. Most small businesses need capital. They need revenue to get started to for longevity.
Now, do you have investors or you're self-funded your operation?
I am self-funded. No investors. I have actually H&R Block reached out to me, wanted to buy me out. But I like the slowly progression as I'm growing with it to transfer. But I will reach out and maybe probably have franchise it out later on down the road.
So now what about the Charlotte operation? How'd that happen?
The Charlotte operation is pretty much the same as here in Atlanta.
There's somebody there in Charlotte?
Yes. They send me the information. Our corporate office is in Columbus, Ohio. We pretty much get it done. We do thousands of clients throughout the year.
Wow.
Like getting it done, yes.
And it's out of Atlanta and Charlotte.
Atlanta, Charlotte, Columbus, Ohio, yes. We actually have our own tax app. You can do your taxes, take a picture of your W-2s, everything, send it up to us.
Wow.
It's literally basically from your phone, kitchen table.
Kitchen table.
Yes.
And then same with receipts. Just take photos and there's a yep. system for that as well.
Yes, sir.
And then is this something that I pay a retainer for or I just pay for?
For business owners, we do a retainer for personal. It's a very competitive market. So with that, our job is to educate and we do small deposits for the depends on the job that we take on.
And then if I'm going to hire you as a CFO to hire, it's the same. It's a retainer.
Well, that's what I do for the other 8 months. We're business owners. There's a retainer, and also I do a financial plan. We got to see if our model fits with it because I have a client that brings in over $20 million in revenue, and I think they probably got about 80, 90 employees. With that, we have to see where their accounting is, their accounting. So we do their payroll also. By doing a payroll, we got to make sure that the funds are coming in to pay the employees, and we take their responsibility. So we sit down and do a consultation to make sure the way you're running your company fits the model for our accounting firm.
And then part of the service is some bookkeeping service?
When we do full service payroll. We love to do the books. We know that the books are there with the projection and make sure that your employees are getting paid on time.
Now, what about benefits?
Benefits with the company? No, we don't, not at that time.
You're not offering benefits. So if only we knew somebody that can help with benefits, that would be a good connection for you.
Yes. Yes, sir. Right now, there's 3 full-time people with the company, and then a lot of other people are part-time.
Or contract.
Contract, yes.
Good stuff. So it seems like you're on an upswing.
On upswing. The business has been open for 5 years now. Revenue every year continue to grow. Enough revenue to open up to additional
office. 5 years to be an overnight success, right?
If you say that. That's the way Mr. Taxes was thought of. Thought of it one night, went to United States trademark office, and it was available.
And locked it down.
Locked it down.
Good
yes.
stuff. So if somebody wanted to get a hold of you and either learn more about the firm or have a conversation, website?
You can call. The website is MrTaxesUSA.com, and the phone number is 833-777-1040.
And that's MrTaxesUSA.com.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Office Evolution Radio.
Thank you for the invite.